Spirit of God working here, and we'll see much more. We will see the work of the Holy Spirit working in our church. Are you praying that the Holy Spirit will just help us and direct us and lead us and guide us and keep us? Well, I sure am. It would be so wonderful to come into church and find that the service wasn't quite as we thought it would be, that it might be an upside-down service. The preaching would take place first and then all the other bits and pieces we'd do later. It wouldn't it be nice to do things back to front? Only if we're led by the Spirit of God. Only then. And we all need to take time off and sit back. We all need to take time. Sunday school teachers, do you remember when you were asked to be a Sunday school teacher? They said, will you be a Sunday school teacher? And that meant the rest of your life. I think we should ask Sunday school teachers to be a Sunday school teacher for a few months. And then ask them to step aside for a few months and come back for a few months. That stops people from getting all dreary. I call them droopy drawers. People get to the point where they're all droopy and they're actually serviced out. They're up to there with prayers and scriptures and preaching and teaching and stories. You will say, as I say, how can they ever get fed up with it? I'll tell you how. If they don't live so close to the Lord Jesus, the singing, the reading, the preaching, everything becomes a matter of form. It's a job we do, even to coming and sitting in the pew. It's something we do at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's something we do at 6 o'clock. Is that the time we have our service? And it's something we do at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And so we do it. And I think we need to be a little more vital, don't you? A little more passionate. I was interested listening to a young man who I've known for some years. I met him. In fact, he liked me so much he called his last son by my name. Isn't that dreadful? I apologized to the boy because the boy could understand. He's 5 years old. And I said, I'm real sorry about your name, Cyril. He said, why? I like it. I said, oh, I didn't apologize then. It's great name, great name. But in America, that's not a name that's well known or well liked. And so I teased him a lot and made a lot of fun about his name. And we had a lot of fun together. He was a nasty little boy, skinny, gets very dirty, very quick. You know what camps are like. Children get very dirty soon. I swear that his mother would make him all nice and clean and she'd turn around and she'd turn back again and he was dirty. And he had a knack of doing it. He wasn't at all like the fellow he's named after. I used to get dirty, my mother says, and say, wash, wash, wash. Had to be washed. Had to be changed. Wanted all my clothes changed if I got grubby. Anyway, that's beside the point. This young preacher was telling me about his church that I know very well. I preached there a couple of weeks, some years ago. Preached there and there was a moving of the Spirit of God we felt in the place. But the key members of his church have since left. And he said, we have no joy in the Lord. No joy in the Lord. Now there are 8 things I want to share with you very quickly. But the Holy Spirit acts as the Spirit of holiness. And if we can once see that the Spirit of holiness is the Holy Spirit working, then perhaps we can discover the work of the Holy Ghost. He is always educating. John 16:14 tells us that he glorifies the head to the members by showing them his glory. What the Holy Spirit does, John 16:14 that is, what the Holy Spirit does is he turns and he says to the members of the church, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. My fight with those that would teach us erroneous teaching about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is this. If you think that the Holy Ghost is teaching you anything else but to look at Jesus, you're wrong. See, some people say, well, he teaches us that God doesn't want anybody to be ill. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. What he teaches us is get a suffering heart. It's nonsense because the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 12, went to him 3 times and said, please heal me. And God said, no, my grace is all you need. You suffer. we discover that the Apostle Paul, talking to Timothy, said, though I've healed many people and God has given me the gift of healing, I had to leave Eutychus ill. I left him at Troas and he was ill and I had to leave him. I could not heal him. God does not mean all of us to be healthy all the time. There are very definite times when God causes our bodies to react and to respond so that he may teach us new or deeper truths about his holiness. You see, it's the Spirit of God that does the educating. It is the Spirit of God that teaches us to wait on him. An hour ago, I wasn't sure that I could stand here. But I remember way back with the same sort of flu bug that seems to be just for me. I thought when I left England, they'd never cross the Atlantic. But I must have brought a pocket full of these special ones. They always get to my throat and then they make my head blaze and then I feel goofy all over and weak, can't hold anything, lots of problem. And then I have to wait until it goes away. And it doesn't really seem to matter what I do about it. Whether I take hot showers, hot baths, cold showers, cold baths, run in the snow, walk in the rain, it doesn't seem to matter. It just takes a couple of days and it goes and that's it. I remember a long time ago, I was in a place where, in Wales, and fortunately for my heart, I knew the scripture that I was going to use that night by heart. And I knew all the hymns by heart. You must understand the services in Wales are very stolid. And I was able to stand up there, hang on to the pulpit. I didn't dare sit down. I didn't think I'd ever got back up. And I was able to recite the hymns, recite the scriptures, and then do the preaching. I don't think I did a very good job. We said amen, and some people got converted. That was the amazing thing. Sort of shattered me. Well, I think there's something in the scripture that says, through my weakness, his strength is made whole, and all that sort of thing. But wasn't there shattering? I remember going back to the house of this dear widow lady and her two children and crawling into bed. And by that time, there was a semi-blizzard blowing outside. And I sort of crawled into bed and I was glad for these massive eiderdowns. You know, these things that are full of down. And I pulled it over my head and I think I just died that night. And I crawled out the next morning. I didn't want to crawl out. I didn't want to go anywhere. Oh, I felt weak. Our Father puts us aside to educate us, to teach us some truth that we're missing. Here are the eight things. The first, he leads the redeemed in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's just look at Romans 8:14. If you go there, you discover in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 14th verse, you discover these words. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you believe that? Well, I sure do. And I'm hoping and praying that all of you do. Then you get into Galatians 5 and verse 25. And it says there, if we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. Now, here's a curious thing. Does that mean my body's going to be sort of Herculean? Does it mean you ladies are going to be Miss Americas? It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that this vehicle, this body of the Holy Spirit will be used by God to do his good pleasure. For he that has begun a good work in you will finish it to the end. And our bodies, he sort of puts them down for a while so that he might lift us up, not in our strength, not with our abilities, but in his strength and with his ability, he leads us. He leads the redeemed in the paths of righteousness. Will you turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 2. There are the elect, he says Peter here, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. See what he's saying? All that you'll ever need will be multiplied to you when you know that your education is being performed by the Holy Spirit. If you turn the pages backwards a little way into 2 Thessalonians, You will discover in the second chapter and the 13th verse these words. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, what is this ministry? What is this education? The effects of the ministry is sanctification. When the Holy Spirit is saying to us, look at Jesus, the Christ, we discover all of a sudden we are sanctified by his wondrous redemptive power. The second thing. And this is so necessary. So necessary. He comforts. He comforts them as an advocate. The Greek word is paralytos. Paralytos. If you go into the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, you will discover how he talks of the Paracletos. I will send you the Holy Spirit. He shall comfort you. He will teach you all things and will comfort you. Jesus makes statements of fact, and those statements are shattering when you apply them to your life. He cannot renege. He cannot back out. The statement is made and recorded in the Holy Word of God. This young man I was telling you about, who seems to have turned around like the prodigal son, this young man was telling me, I want to work amongst young people. And he went on and he said, the reason I want to work amongst young people is I've had the cars. I've had the excitement, the motorbikes. I've had the women. I've had the drugs. I've had the money. And I want to share that with them. And I said, young man, very likely God will put a muzzle on your mouth. And you won't speak for several years.
What do you mean?
That's because that's not telling them anything, except that you were a Rip Van Winkle, that's all. You were naughty. You may use that as an illustration, but that isn't your ministry to go around using the illustration. God has allowed you to go through these experiences so that you may be inoculated, immunized against continuing these experiences. But God would rather have had you holy. Don't you agree? See, how many of us have wasted years? How many of us have wasted days? How many of us have wasted a month, a week? How many of us have wasted time? When God wanted to comfort us, comfort us. Here, look at Romans with me, just for a minute. And let's just look at Romans 8 and 16. 8 and 16. Look at the beautiful words. The Holy Spirit teaches us that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And do you know what I was wrestling with that young man? I wasn't sure this was going on. I wasn't convinced that the Spirit in this young man was speaking to my spirit and that there was a oneness and a kinness of spirit. He is dramatic. He is voluble. He is all sorts of things. We need very badly to understand the comfort, for the Holy Spirit gives them his witness. Look at the third thing. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians and to chapter 2. 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. And let me just read to you from verse 5 to 11. If any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which is inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. And to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To him, or rather to whom, ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you see what Paul is saying? Our Father will cause the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. It's not really for us to get all worked up and jump up and down and say, oh, isn't this a terrible thing? Isn't this a ghastly thing? It's not for us to get all involved in all kinds of problems. It is for us to withdraw and let the Holy Spirit, with his comforting, convicting ability to convict sin. The reason is, says the apostle here, I can forgive because of Christ. You see, Christ has forgiven me everything. So I can forgive sin. Now, can you forgive someone who sins against you? Who did sin against you? A child? A parent? Who did sin against you? A preacher sometime? Well, my dear friends, let us be sure that there is no harbored bitterness in our souls, but that we, like the instruction of the Scripture, have forgiven. Have forgiven. It's important. Have you forgiven? Has anyone got aught against you? Are you forgiven? Paul says, I forgave. I forgave the brother that offended me, not because he offended me, but because he offended the Holy Spirit. And I was the voice box, as it were, of the Holy Spirit. Now, I forgave him, again, because there's no need for me not to forgive him. I want you to understand that I forgave him also for your sakes, so that he's not overburdened. Someone said that Ichabod was written, or should be written, over this door. I don't know who said that. That was sort of a rash statement. But some people feel that it should be written over their lives, and then overmuch sorrow comes upon them, and they become gossips about the local assembly of people, and they put down the local assembly of people and do much disservice, not to themselves or the local assembly, but to Christ. And Paul says, that's overmuch sorrow. That's overmuch. What I want you to do is forgive, that the brother that is forgiven can be re-established. Re-established. Notice he also teaches. He teaches the words of the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. There's such a massive amount of teaching in the Gospel of John that it's hard not to just stay here and take all the teaching in one go. But we mustn't do that. We must see the overall of the Scripture. But if you'll turn to the 14th chapter and the 26th verse, please, of the Gospel of John, you will discover Jesus is teaching, and he says the Holy Spirit's major ministry is to teach the words of Jesus. To teach the words of Jesus. Verse 26 of John 14, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things, I hope they missed, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit will teach the words that I have said to you, says Jesus. And that's important. That is important. I am pleased when I hear our young men and women starting to talk back the Scripture. Isn't that lovely? They have learned the Scripture and their attitudes. I was impressed the other day at the testimony of young Kevin Osborne. He went through a very precarious few hours on the night when sort of he was tried a little bit by fire. How wonderful that this young man was able to stand his ground and just remember the words of Jesus. And it was the words of Jesus that made this person that was filled with an unholy spirit so angry. We need to remember the words of Scripture. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to bring them back to our remembrance, because the words of the Lord Jesus guides into all truth. Turn to the 16th chapter just for a moment, please, and let's look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he will show you things to come. I was listening to a preacher the other day who was telling us that the end times were right upon us, and it was evident because of this, that, and or the other. And this tremendous statement was being made by texts that were being whipped out of Scripture, and so they were right out of their context. And I listened to him and watched the people as he was speaking to them, and they were swallowing this hook, line, and sinker. We should be most careful to understand and to teach people. The Holy Spirit will teach us of things to come. Do you believe this world will exist past 2000, the year 2000? Do you think it'll go past 1990? Do you think there's some magic date somewhere? We don't know. But what we do know, that all the prophecy of the Word of God is gradually being completely fulfilled, exactly as God said it would happen. And however you catalog and however you characterize and however you put things in their sequence of events, it's happening right now. There is a great turn if you look and listen. I was listening to Mr. Van Impe the other day on television, and he was saying that the power of America is gone and the power of Russia is so far superior. Do you know what we could discover in this nation? If this nation called by the name of God would fall upon its knees and humble itself, it could discover the power of God and the power of a military giant would be nothing compared with the power of God. I've often sat as I've been driving, imagining all the missiles, the super missiles zipping up from Moscow. I always start with Moscow because I don't know the geography of the rest. And all zooming in this direction. And then I see angels whipping around, defusing them, throwing the fuses off, and letting them all plop in the Atlantic or someplace like that. Have you ever thought about this? Do you realize a Polaris submarine stationed in the North Sea and the Irish Sea could say to the British Isles completely, the whole British Isles, surrender or else? Do you realize that a Polaris-type submarine, one posted in the Mediterranean and one in the English Channel, could say to all of Europe, Italy, Turkey, all up the Slovakian countries, to Austria, Germany, Belgium, France, Spain, and Portugal, all that group, they could say, surrender or else? Have you ever stopped to think that because all of the armaments, I was thinking of this the other day, as somebody was talking somewhere on the radio, I expect, was talking about where all the armaments are and all these marvelous silos we've got. They're all aimed at Russia. Wouldn't it be just something if they flew those great planes straight through Alaska, straight the way down through Canada, who don't have anything to stop them, and landed in Nevada? Have you ever thought of that? What's in Nevada? Well, a few of those silos, but who's going to shoot a missile up and down? Now, it's all sort of funny, disastrous. It's all panicky, alarmist. But these are things we ought to consider. And our country could turn around all the might of Russia and all the power of all the world if it would fall on its knees. The Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God. Let's look, or you can also look, if you're taking notes, at 1 John 2:20. Let's also look at, he equips us for service. Always our Lord Jesus gives us whatever equipment we need. I think this is just absolutely wonderful. This is why I say to the deacon board here, and to those of you who get all panicky about money, try not to worry. Try not to be overly concerned. Our Father has promised that if we only spend on our needs, He will meet our needs. He has promised. Now look, He always equips for service. Some of you have felt led of God to go into some sort of service some time or another. Yet you hesitate. You've got some reason. It's a good reason. Usually something like pension here and a pension there, or a housing allowance here or there, or a dental allowance or a medical allowance. Fringe benefits we speak about. But has it ever crossed your mind that our Father can meet every one of those needs that you might have? He teaches us and then equips us for service. He prepares and uses us as instruments. He orders our gifts and divides them according to his will. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. And let's look at verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. See, it's the Holy Ghost that's at work. Now, when we get critical of somebody who has a different gift to us because they don't do it our way, do you realize what we're saying? I've got an ugly nose, and God doesn't seem to know about it, because they belong to our body. I was playing water polo, and they insisted on playing in the shallow end. That's disaster. For the concrete at the shallow end was all serrated, and it was only a little while before I had no skin left on my toes. And I was mentally crying out, let's go to the deep end of the swimming pool so I don't have to tread on these very sore toes. But they insisted on staying where we were, and I'm game for a game. So I stayed, but I was saying, I don't like you toes. You hurt. And sometimes we get a skin off a knuckle somewhere in the assembly of believers. And that skin off the knuckle sure lets the rest of the congregation know, I'm hurting. Now, what are we going to say, says the apostle? They're not of the body? Of course they are. It's just they have a different gift. And exercising that gift in their way, they've come up with a hurt. So love them a little. Love them a lot. Be patient, be kind. Be generous. You know, I can't see why we have to speak in tongues, to be truthful. I really can't. But I doubt very much if I get terribly worked up if somebody spoke in tongues. You know, I would say something as I've said before. I would very likely say, as I did to a dear soul that was doing such a thing when I was preaching, lady, hey, do you mind? This is a preaching service, not a speaking in tongues service. However, is there an interpreter in the house? Nobody answered. Shh, sit down, please. Afterwards, you can go to a room and you can speak in tongues. I didn't mind, because I socked a very good counselor onto it. But we need to understand that all these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. What's your gift? Do you know what your gift is? It's time we knew. One of the worst things, one of the reasons why we don't do anything or don't do very much is because really we don't know how to function. A friend of mine by the name of Russ Backers, I thought he'd just come back from the dead. He phoned me the other day. I hadn't heard from him for a few years. And he said, guess who this is? And I could not guess. I knew his voice, but I could not guess who it was. And because he was imitating an Irishman, so I wasn't too sure I wanted to know. Anyway, he eventually declared himself, and we were talking. Now, I met Russ. Let me tell you about him. He's one of the finest counselors in the world. He really is. But one of the comments he made to me while he was talking, he said, you know, do you remember our conversations 10 years ago? I said, yeah. He said, everything you said would happen to my family is happening. He said, at that time I was offended. At that time I knew you were wrong. And yet I wondered if you were right. And now I have to say, you were right. Well, I'd say I wasn't right. It's just the scripture that was right, Russ. That's what's right. And this is how I sort of help to sort him out. I go to him. Some of you are mechanical. I know Walter is and Don is. And some of you fellas fix machines. Now, if I fix the machine, I have to take every piece apart and lay it down. As it comes out, I lay it down. And I sort of either make a mental tabulation or I actually write it down. The four washers go in front of the flat washer and all that sort of thing. Otherwise, I end up with a bowl full of things and the engine's put together again. And I'm sure some of those things, because they came out, ought to have gone back. So I'm not gifted in that area, you see. But old Russ used to take an engine apart and he'd take a nut out here, throw it in a pan, take a screw out, throw it in a pan, take a piece off, throw it in a pan. And he just threw everything in a great big pan. And there was this pile of junk. Now, I could excuse that if that was the only engine that was in pieces in that pan. But usually, he didn't clean out the other two or three engines that were all in pieces in that very large pan. I said to him one day, how are you going to put that together? Oh, he said, I've got pieces everywhere. I can always find a piece. He drove me mad. And eventually somebody gave me one of these Beetle bombs, this Volkswagen thing. Sometimes I wonder if that was a blessing or a curse that they gave it to me and it was all blown up and he was going to fix it for me. And we fixed it together. But I couldn't work with him. And the reason I couldn't work with him, there wasn't a screw that said, this goes in that hole and turns. There wasn't a nut that said, this fits on the end of that screw. And I have to know where it all goes. But he gaily walked along and he screwed things together and he bolted things together and he fixed pistons and he had them all weighed and he did all the things that everybody has to do. He put in a new crankshaft and he put in a new camshaft and I was fascinated. Then he cranked it up. Oh, it won't work, he said. I forgot something. He had to take it all apart again. There was a special thing that had to go on the crankshaft. So all had to come out again, put it all together again. Back we went again. Oh, forgot something else. And back in we went. I thought, my word, how long is this going to take? It had taken about 3 weeks. How much longer? You know, I was getting irritated. And I leaned back and realized, this isn't my gift. Mine, if that's what the gift is, I really don't want it. But I'm glad that's not my gift. He loved to get grease from his fingernails to his elbows. He'd had a wonderful time. But you know what he used to do? He used to get the engines of fellows out of their cars from Fort Lewis and from McCord Air Force Base. And he used to take them apart. And as he put them together, the boys, the fellows would be standing there and he'd be telling them the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. So it was really good that all the mistakes that were made because they really got the gospel. We saw lots of conversions as a result of the foolishness of that man. Our Father gives us everything we need for whatever service we're into. Do you want to go to the mission field? Do you want to stay here and work in Watsonville? You've got anything and everything you'll ever need, and you've got it right now. Just ask. Ye shall receive. Very quickly, he appoints the service in the church and its gatherings, in Acts of the Apostles 13:4, in Acts 16:6-7, in Acts 20 and 28, and also in 1 Corinthians 12:28-30. Let's just look at that, 1 Corinthians 12, because we're already there. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What is it? What is this new excellent way? That I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Hey, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, well, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Isn't that lovely? See, get into all the argument about the gifts. Get into all the shattering things that go on. But if you don't have love for the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit indicates it, you have nothing. You're like a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. In fact, you're a bit of a ding-a-ling. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, we are so grateful that Thou art our Lord. We are so thrilled Thou art our God. We come into Thy presence at this very minute, seeking Thy face and asking Thy blessing and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, fill our hearts with a love that consumes us, a love that never fails. We beseech Thee that Thy love, taught by Thy Holy Spirit, may fill us with life anew. Breathe on us, breath of God, we beseech Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.